needful subject, and I want us to consider the issue of marriage. But I want you to turn with me before we begin to Psalm 110. Psalm 110. Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord. I want you to notice now, we quote this scripture a lot, but look at your Bible and look who says what. The Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah, said unto my Christ, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come before you this evening, how thankful we are for this blessed privilege to pray. And we ask, Lord, your blessing upon the word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence. Thank you for allowing us to hear your word. Forgive us, Lord, for our insensitivity. Forgive us for our attitude toward you. I pray now, watch over us as we hear. Cause us to worship. And these things we ask for Christ's sake. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Genesis 2, 24. I want to make a couple of statements before I begin. We're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. And Lord willing, this Sunday, I will take both services and begin in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7 deals with the issue of marriage and what actually had happened was the church had written to the Apostle Paul and asked him his advice on some problems that had arisen in the church. And they'd already talked to him about, or he had talked to them, let me say this, about lifting up one preacher over another preacher. I like this preacher. I like that preacher. And he told them all, he said, you're carnal. You're carnal. You start picking and choosing who you think is the most blessed, and Paul said they're all sin of God. And then they had problems with taking each other to court. And they had problems with a man marrying his stepmother. And then they had, now in chapter 7, there were some questions that they had on marriage. And there were some problems that had arisen in their minds over what's the right thing to do. What should we do? And as I contemplated starting that chapter this evening, and I have worked on that just in the latter part of last week into today. And instead of starting 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, I want us to look at what God has to say concerning the institution of marriage. Then we'll go in, Lord willing, into the problems that had arisen in that church, which will be for our admonition, edification, learning, and comfort. So this evening, I want to say a few words on God's Word on marriage. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24 says this, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now, the subject of marriage is a grave issue. It's an issue that I think has been, certainly I know in my lifetime, come to be looked upon by many as something that is not taken as seriously as it should. This is one of the things that Paul told the church at Corinth. He said, you're not taking this seriously, is what he, you know, they, again, I don't want to get into the message, I really don't, but they came from an environment where everything was fine, everything was good, everything was whatever, just do whatever. And Paul had to deal with them on it. But marriage is an institution. It's a union. It's a bond of unbelievable significance. I've been in a marriage state for a total of almost 43 years. And let me tell you what that doesn't make me an authority on marriage. I'm not an authority, and no one else born in Adam is either. But I will say this. We do have the Word of God, and He is the authority on the subject. And by the grace of God, we can consider what He has to say, and therefore, by God's grace, we'll understand something concerning this state of marriage. Now, for those that are here that are married, for those who either are contemplating marriage or possibly one day shall be married, I want us to take heed what the Lord has to say on this subject. The Scripture declares in Genesis 2:18 that Almighty God created man out of the dust. And then after He had created man out of the dust, out of the dirt, He said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." Now, you know that primarily, ultimately, that Scripture right there is dealing with the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and His bride. Now, it's an amazing passage of Scripture because Almighty God said it's not good. It's not good. It's not pleasant. It's not comfortable. It's not agreeable to man's nature that he should be alone. Therefore, the Lord said, "I will make him an help meet or fit for him." I will make one that's useful. I'll make one that's comfortable to him. A help that is one with him in nature, one in disposition, and pleasant in his sight. I'm going to make him one that I know, the Lord says, is best for him. So, God, having made man out of the dust of the earth and created man, he then created a woman. But the scripture says he didn't make the woman out of the dust. What he did was he made the woman by taking a rib from Adam's side, and someone said that from a place near to his heart, one that would be loved and cared for by him, and then made this woman out of Adam's rib, and then presented the woman to him. And Adam said, and obviously this is by divine revelation, Genesis 2:23, he said, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man," which woman, the title, woman, the description, woman, means taken from man. That's what woman means, taken from man. So here now is his spouse. He's got a spouse, and it's a type of the church in its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. The church that has eternally been taken out of, placed in, and taken from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Well, then the Lord declared concerning man and woman, He said in Genesis 2:24, where we read a while ago, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother." Now, it's not that a man should forsake or dismiss his parents, you know, from his life. When he says he shall leave them, he used to still honor them and respect them as his parents. But now being married, a man is to have his place of residence with his wife. Now they're now a family. They're a family. "And shall cleave unto his wife," that is, with affection, providing for her, continuing with her, glued to her. When it says cleave to her, it's to be glued to. "They shall be one flesh," one person, one soul. That's the way God now declares them to be. So here we behold the first institution of this holy state of marriage. It's a bond. It's a covenant. It's a covenant. It's an agreement. It's a contract. It's a bond of divine authority, and it's established by Almighty God Himself, and therefore worthy to be observed with reverence and respect. So according to God's Word, man and woman were created for each other, a glorious picture and type of the relationship between the Lord and His bride, giving honor to that bond, giving honor to one another as a covenant, a picture of that bond between Christ and His church. Now, concerning the roles of marriage, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22-26, it says this, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Now this is God's Word. This is what God has to say. "Submit yourself in heart and spirit. Think well." Submit to Him. Think well of Him. Speak respectfully to Him and of Him. And be careful that in the family affairs or family matters that would fall under the responsibility of the wife, be careful to watch over those things as directed by the Lord through the husband, who's the God-ordained head of the wife. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." Now, you know, I got to thinking about that, and I bet this is the best illustration that I can come up with that makes this point perfectly plain. We all sitting here, we all have heads. Everybody's got a head. Okay? And in that head is the brain. That's the center of thought and reason and everything. We have a brain up here. And this head just directed my hand to do that. It directed my hand to gesture. It sent a signal, and I understood what it was saying. And I just, when I move and when I gesture, whatever I do, the thoughts that I am coming out with as I'm speaking right here, my head is directing my vocal cords to do certain things, and it's making my mouth, and it's using my teeth, and it's forming words, and you're hearing what I'm saying, and your head is telling your ear to listen to what I'm saying, and you're understanding it. You've got reason, and you're sitting there, and all the while you're sitting there listening to what I'm saying, you're sitting there breathing. And you're taking in oxygen because you have to have oxygen. Well, how did your body know to take in? Your head told them that. But while your head is doing all of that, let me tell you what it's doing it for. It's for the good of my body. It's for the pleasure of my body and the sustenance of my body and the maintaining of my body. It's not doing it as a tyrant. I said breathe. No. It just said breathe. And I breathed. I take in that air, and it's not doing it in an uncaring way. It's not laying down unreasonable demands. My head is telling the rest of my body what to do. And it's doing it because it's my body. And I love and thankful for my body. And my head that is directing me is a beautiful picture of Christ, the head of the church, and in the bond of marriage, the man is the head of the wife. So when it says, wives, submit yourself, and I'm going to say something about this in just a second here again, but submit yourselves unto your own husbands and do it as unto the Lord. Because the Lord said it. Because the Lord said it. Because it's the right thing. Because it's the best thing for you. Your husband, wives, has the responsibility for you. Husbands, it's your responsibility. It's our responsibility for our wives. Our wives are to submit themselves to us as we are doing for them that which is best for the bond of this marriage. So husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That is, everything lawful. Everything becoming unto the Lord and for the good of the family. While that man is doing all that he can for you as unto the Lord. The Scripture says, let the wives be in subjection to their husbands in everything according to these Scriptures, according to the good that he's doing for. And then it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, right here is the foundational key. This is the foundational point of the stability of a marriage. Because the Lord loved the church, he gave himself for it. He gave himself for it. I'm coming right back here. But I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians, and Lord willing, I'll say something more on this on Sunday. But in chapter 7, in verse 1, the Apostle Paul makes this statement. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now let me tell you who he's talking to. He's talking to believers. He's talking to believers. And what he had obviously been asked concerning the bond of marriage was this. They asked about whether or not it was right or good or profitable. In a state that that church was in, and it's going to apply to us today. The Apostle Paul, I don't believe, was married. I don't believe he was. But God had given him some light on this subject right here. And because of Paul's situation, the Lord didn't allow him to be married. The Lord put him through some real trials. And he used Paul to write a major portion of the New Testament. And Paul was all over here. He was here and here and here and here. And he was in the deep and he was beaten and he was in prison and he was all. That would have been a real strain on the marriage. That would have been a real strain on a marriage. Almighty God did not allow Paul, obviously, to marry. For the good of God's church, the good of Paul, the good of a marriage, he didn't allow it. When Paul wrote this and he said it's good for a man not to touch a woman, here's what he was saying. And when I first read it, I thought it meant to not have intimate relationships with a woman outside of marriage. That's pretty obvious. I mean, that's pretty obvious that's not right. But that's not what Paul was talking about here. He was talking about good. It's not good, meaning it's not profitable. It's not profitable. If you are going to look at a situation concerning a marriage, when you look at the trials that arise, you know, because of a marriage. You know, if I wasn't married, I wouldn't have a lot of the responsibilities that I have. If I wouldn't have been married, I wouldn't have had children. I wouldn't have grandchildren. I wouldn't be trying to take care of kids and grandkids, and you don't ever get rid of them. You know, you think, you know, will my kids grow up and leave the house? Are you kidding? No. But Paul was saying, he said, listen, it's not good or it's not profitable. Not that it's not good to marry, because God, this is why I'm preaching this first message tonight. Almighty God established the institution of marriage. But what Paul was telling was this. When you enter into the bond of marriage, be advised. Be advised. You've got two sinners that are now giving themselves to each other. And with two sinners, saved by the grace of God, but we're frail creatures of the dust. And you're going to find that there's going to be times when problems arise in a marriage. Problems that would not be there if you weren't married. He goes on into the next verse then, but to avoid fornication, marry. If you can't control yourself, you know, marry. But there's problems that come with marriage. And it's a picture. I might as well go ahead and just preach the message now. And just not even wait till Sunday. But it's a picture. It's a type. When the Lord Jesus Christ bore the guilt of His people, had He not been made flesh, had He not come into this world, had He not been ridiculed, had He not been crucified, He bore the brunt of the weight, the problems that arose from His love for His church. Are there problems in marriages? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Are there problems that you would have, that you'll have being married that you wouldn't have had if you weren't married? That's right, you wouldn't have had them. But let me ask you this. Would you give up your wife to avoid the problems? No. Why'd you get married? I loved her. I loved her. That's the reason. Yeah, but she did that and the other. But I love her. I love her. Christ gave Himself. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. I'm telling you, here's the stability right here. If you were going to ask yourself or someone, when we consider the stability of our relationship to the Lord, upon whom is that stability found? The Lord or us? Now you know that. It's the Lord. A husband that loves his wife, showing her respect and affection, delighting in her, seeking her contentment and happiness, hiding her faults, preferring her above all others, and lovingly directing her in the things of the Lord, will find that her submission to him is a joy and a delight. Any wife joyfully submits herself to a husband that she knows is doing what he's doing because he loves her. But a man that unlovingly demands that it's his way or the highway, one that allows no place for her thoughts or desires, one who places unreasonable restrictions upon her and never finds time to consider her needs, never remembers to thank her for the unceasing demands of the home, one who was never willing to give up his time for her to be able to do what she'd like to do. I'm going to tell you something, husbands. I can tell you this. I got 4 kids. And when they were growing up, if I was asked, if Linda asked me, could you keep the kids this afternoon while I just go and do some shopping or something? All 4 of them? She has them every day. All day. When they're sick. When I'm gone. When I'm at work and everything's fine. A man that's never willing to give up his time for her and always rehearsing to her that he's the head of the house, he's going to find that submission to him is not a joy. It's not a delight. Are there burdens to be borne in a marriage? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But love. Love. God ordained the institution of marriage for this cause. Shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And concerning the reason for the marriage, the reason for that attitude and responsibility of each other in that marriage is to give honor and glory and praise unto the Lord Jesus Christ as the husband of the bride. I'm telling you, when a man and a woman married in this wife submits herself to her husband that loves her, and that man loves his wife, and what he's doing all he can. He's going overboard, trying to do for her and help her and encourage her. She's the weaker vessel, fellas. Encourage her. When you find that, I'm telling you, you find a man and a wife that's got a good marriage. They have problems? Yeah, they do. Sure they do. But they love each other. They love each other. This is a great mystery, Paul said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, knowing what the Lord has to say concerning the bond of marriage, Lord willing, you go ahead and I'd encourage you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7. Read the chapter. I plan to preach both messages, but I promise you this. There will probably be multiple messages that will preach. I'd like to take that chapter and just take our time and go through it and see what the Lord has to say, because this is what it's dealing with. It's dealing with problems. It's dealing with responsibilities. It's dealing with attitudes. It's dealing with questions, that things that just come up, that come up. And we want to know. We want to know. Not what the psychiatrist says or I want to know what God has to say. And finding out what the Lord has to say, then we've got some assurance and we've got some safety right there. All right? Our Father, as we come before you this evening, I thank you for this time that we've had and to consider the blessed establishment, foundation of marriage. I pray that as we now remember the Lord, our husband, in the taking of the Lord's table, would you bless this taking and this drinking and eating together? Would you bless it, Lord, to our comfort and our remembrance? And these things we ask for Christ's sake. Amen. All right.